You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today. Tennessee gets the win on the road against Ole Miss on Wednesday night. It's never really in doubt for the Vols, was it? Not quite. The Tennessee Vols have really kind of become the cardiac Vols here the last week with the endings against LSU and Ole Miss. In the end, Tennessee splits on the road, and I kind of think you take that. Now you get ready for Kentucky on Saturday. It's going to be a huge game. Coming up here in the first segment of the show, you'll hear Rick Barnes talk about the way his players responded. Tennessee a couple of times was in trouble, and it kept fighting back. We'll hear about that. Grant Williams talking about the play that he made to get what was ultimately the winning basket for Tennessee with just a few seconds remaining, and that charge call that Admiral Schofield was able to draw. Even Rick Barnes will tell you that maybe that isn't what he needs to do moving forward, but it worked out last night. So that's coming up in the first segment of today's show, Tennessee's win over Ole Miss. In segment number two, Tennessee is not represented at the NFL Scouting Combine this week. Why not? I'll take a look at that and what Jeremy Pruitt is probably planning to do moving forward so that something like this doesn't happen again in 4 years. And then in the third segment, a couple of questions to answer from listeners about Tennessee football and Tennessee basketball lineup construction. Is that something to pay attention to still moving forward with Tennessee? All right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day, 5 days a week, covering what's going on with UT on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, the third-party apps, and your smart speaker at home. It'll fire up podcast Locked On Vols. So Tennessee gets the win against Ole Miss, and my goodness, was it dramatic in the end. 73-71, the Vols win the basketball game. Lamonte Turner had a really big game for Tennessee, which was important. Grant Williams led Tennessee in scoring with 21, and that last shot that he hit with just a few seconds to go was the difference in the end. And you think about it, LSU, Grant Williams, he gets a bucket and a foul in that game. It's just that LSU came back down and scored. In this game, Tennessee gets the stop. You have Admiral Schofield. What a risky move it was, and it worked out. He steps up and takes the charge. I don't remember seeing a charge on a three-point attempt before. I'm sure I have, or I'm sure it's happened at least. I don't recall seeing it. I saw former Vol Jordan McRae tweet to him last night, hey, no more of those charge calls. And Admiral Schofield responded, bet. So I don't know that we're going to see that one again with this team and the way these endings have come lately. Who knows? But Grant Williams, 21 points, big shot at the end. Lamonte Turner, 17 points for Tennessee. Admiral had 11 points on only 7 shots from the field, 6 rebounds for Tennessee. Jordan Bowden continues to struggle with his outside shot. He was 0 for 4 from 3, and I think the real concern right now would be three-point shooting. Tennessee was 3 of 13 behind the three-point line. That just needs to be better. Ole Miss was 9 of 23 from 3. But Bowden did hit that mid-range jumper there in the final 30 seconds that cut the Ole Miss lead to 1. Ole Miss misses front end of a free throw there, and Tennessee comes down and wins the game, obviously. So the play late, Grant Williams with the basketball, he talked about making that play and going to the basket to score to get Tennessee the win.
My touch has been off a little bit recently, but it's coming back to me, and I just had a lot of confidence in myself in making that shot, but I respect my teammates for putting me in that position to take that shot, because we played, you look at AD, they took that charge at the end.
Yeah.
That, you think about it, that's a huge play.
Huge play.
Huge play, and it's gutsy. It's definitely gutsy, but it was the right call, and something that we're going to talk about in Knoxville that was a defining moment, hopefully a defining moment of our season. So we're just going to keep moving from there.
Yeah, Grant might be right about that. That could be a play that we look back at the end of the season or maybe in a few years and say, remember on the road at Ole Miss when Grant hits that shot and Admiral takes the charge and Tennessee gets the win? Those are Tennessee's two leaders, and they made two big plays. Something else that stood out with Tennessee on Wednesday night, the Vols had 16 assists on offense, only 9 turnovers, and I think 2 of those were in the second half. I think they had 7 in the first half on Wednesday night against Ole Miss. Turnovers were an issue at LSU, and over the last week and a half, Tennessee has struggled with moving the basketball as well. Tennessee was not as crisp on offense. That was pretty evident, and the assist numbers, I think, backed that up. Rick Martins talked about that earlier this week. Well, he talked about the way his players responded on the road in a tough environment on Wednesday. Ole Miss is a good team. It's a team most likely going to the NCAA tournament, and the crowd was, of course, on Ole Miss's side. The crowd was ugly there late. Kermit Davis threw his jacket, by the way, after with the charge call. Kermit had been pretty heated to that point. That was a breaking point for him. He said after the game he shouldn't have done that. That got the crowd to go over the top. They start throwing trash on the floor after the game ends. It was a really ugly scene there. But Kermit was also very complimentary of Tennessee's basketball team and the way that it plays and the game there was. I thought it was overall a really good game. And again, Kermit said that he shouldn't have done that. He's right. He should not have taken his jacket off and thrown it the way he did in that moment. But again, that environment, that was tough. Rick Barnes talked about the way that his players responded. This was Rick on the Vol Network post game last night.
I think you got to give our players a lot of credit. You know, Kyle wasn't real effective tonight. I mean, he hadn't practiced very much. I thought Folky was good early, but coming down the stretch, you know, we had to play those guys. I mean, you know, you're down to three games in a regular season, and, you know, we know in practice we've been taking it way back because we know we're going to be in games like this, and we know we're going to have to use these guys. I just think we still got a little bit get more from our bench, but nonetheless, if I would have wanted to take those guys out, they wouldn't have, because they've been there a lot and in those situations, and it was really again, defensively, we were good. I mean, they run cut as hard as any team that you play in this league. And in the start of the game, our defense was terrific. Our defense was terrific. Our offense really didn't get going because we were just one shot in the pass. We weren't playing together. You know, when we play together, move the ball, and play high-percentage basketball, good things start happening.
So it was not easy. Tennessee could have come out of there with a loss, and if that had happened, well, this would be a disappointing day for Tennessee, I think, and it would take away a little bit from the build-up to the Kentucky game. Instead, Tennessee will go into Kentucky with a chance to separate itself from the Wildcats in the SEC standings. Tennessee is in a three-way tie right now with LSU and Kentucky, and then you see what happens with LSU over the next three games. It is still a tough stretch remaining with Kentucky at home on Saturday, Mississippi State next week, and then finishing up on the road at Auburn next weekend. Last night, Auburn won at Georgia. Florida won at Vanderbilt, by the way, in the SEC. But Tennessee has to like the position that it's in. I saw a note from Grant Ramey of GoVols 247 last night that Grant Williams was surrounded by reporters. He was asked about the Kentucky game coming up this weekend and their eagerness to play the Wildcats after what happened just a couple of weeks ago in Lexington. Admiral Schofield walked by, overheard the question, and according to Grant, Admiral said, quote, "Hopefully we're not scared of PJ this time," referring to PJ Washington, who had a huge game a couple of weeks ago and got into the heads of Tennessee maybe in that game and last year. It's a huge game for PJ coming to Knoxville, huge game for Grant Williams and the Vols, and it's going to be a lot of fun at Thompson Bowling Arena. That, you want to talk about atmosphere, that's going to be there at Thompson Bowling on Saturday. It'll be a sellout crowd, of course. There will be some Kentucky fans in the house, and there will be Tennessee fans, I think, ready to go. I'd also expect that Tennessee players will be ready to go this weekend. It's going to be a huge one. I'll have a big preview tomorrow for the game to get you ready with Tennessee and Kentucky at Thompson Bowling. Coming up on Locked On Vols, I mentioned on Wednesday's show that I was going to look at the 2015 signing class for Tennessee and try to figure out why Tennessee is absent at this year's NFL Draft Scouting Combine. And when I look at the class, I'll also take a look at what needs to change for Tennessee moving forward to make sure some of the same issues are not present within Tennessee's football program. I'll do that next, right here on Locked On Vols, which today is presented by Learning RX Knoxville, which has been a great supporter of the podcast, and I've been proud to have them on board because the work that Learning RX is doing is so important. If you have someone in your life who has struggled with learning, with memory issues, with reading, if dyslexia might be an issue, attention issues are present, Learning RX can help. Learning RX can help people of all ages. If you have a child in your life who might need some help, get in touch with Learning RX. It's located on North Shore Drive. Learning RX will start with a cognitive assessment to figure out what's going on, where are skills weak, and where do they need to improve. And with LearningRx, they use brain training. That's fun but intense mental workout sessions that target weak skills and make them stronger. With LearningRx, they will focus on what the problem is and how to improve it. And if you think about it, if you want to get in better shape physically, what do? You work out. The same idea applies to cognitive skills. Let LearningRx help. Give them a call. Schedule a cognitive assessment. The phone number is 865-246-6326. That's 865-246-6326. You can also go online to learningrx.com/Knoxville. You can learn more about what they do. The website again, learningrx.com/Knoxville. Learn easier, think faster, perform better at LearningRx Knoxville. So I said that I was going to go through the 2015 class, one that was so highly touted. The 247 Sports Composite had Tennessee's 2015 class ranked number 4 in the country. Here are the top 10 players in that class. Khalil McKenzie, Kyle Phillips, Alvin Kamara, Preston Williams, Shai Tuttle, Drew Richmond, Jack Jones, Darren Kirkland Jr., Juwan Jennings, Quarte Sapp. Of those 10 players, I would say the players who lived up to their billing at Tennessee would include Alvin Kamara and Juwan Jennings. There are other players in there who provided some help. Kyle Phillips, I think, had a nice senior year. I think Shai Tuttle had a nice senior year as well. Darren Kirkland Jr. as a freshman showed so much promise. And then, you know, Quarte Sapp played some at linebacker. But I would say Alvin Kamara, despite maybe not being used as much as he should have, he clearly showed he was a terrific player in his 2 years in Knoxville, and Juwan Jennings has been one of Tennessee's best players. I think there's something that stands out not only about the top 10, but when you go through the entire class. It was a big class that Tennessee signed in 2015, but of those top 10 players, six of them dealt with major injury issues. Kyle Phillips and Shai Tuttle. Jack Jones had to end his career early because of injuries. Darren Kirkland Jr. missed the 2017 season and most of the 2016 season because of injuries. Juwan Jennings missed all of the 17 season with the elbow injury and was plagued with injuries this past year. Quarte Sapp suffered a torn ACL in the 2016 season. So six of the top 10 rated players dealt with, I think, major injury issues during their career. Then I looked at the overall class. I counted 9 of the top 22 players dealing with significant injury issues. That includes Chance Hall, an offensive lineman who also, like Jack Jones, had to give up football early. Other players who dealt with serious injury issues during their time at Tennessee, Andrew Butcher. He was a part of a defensive line class that was thought to be so highly touted. Well, Shai Tuttle, major injury issues. Kyle Phillips, injury issues. Andrew Butcher was never really able to play at Tennessee because of injury concerns. Austin Smith is a player who, as a freshman, actually started a game for Tennessee, and the thought was, hey, he could really blossom into something for Tennessee on defense. He continued to deal with injury issues. He bounced around changing positions. There are a number of reasons that the 2015 class did not pan out. Injury issues is just one of them. Development is another. Drew Richmond never developed into the high-level offensive lineman Tennessee hoped he would be. He still has another chance. He is in the transfer portal. Drew Richmond is planning to play his senior year elsewhere, and reportedly big-time schools are interested. He has a chance to have a big fifth year somewhere else in hopes of being drafted and playing in the NFL starting in 2020. At Tennessee, though, it never really worked out for Drew Richmond. With Khalil McKenzie, I think he showed up out of shape. He never really seemed to fit well at defensive tackle, at least how he was projected to. And now that he's in the NFL, he spent this past year on the practice squad with the Kansas City Chiefs on offense. A lot of people thought in Knoxville that Khalil McKenzie should change to offense. Didn't happen. Preston Williams, he was dismissed from the team in 2016. Dealt with some off-the-field issues at Colorado State as well, but has seemed to overcome those. He declared early for the draft and will be drafted maybe in the second or third round. He was very talented. Nobody ever questioned Preston Williams' ability. It was more about taking care of his business. I hope that he has matured some, because I like talking to Preston when I had the rare opportunity to, I guess. And again, nobody questioned his talent. It was about focus and being accountable for some of the decisions that he made. Didn't happen at Tennessee. He left Tennessee after just a couple of seasons in Knoxville. Never panned out with the Vols. So there are a number of reasons, again, that players within this class did not pan out. Injuries, development, and then evaluation is probably part of it with some of these players. Even guys that were coveted by a number of schools, there's a misevaluation in there somewhere. And then another would be it didn't work out at quarterback. When I counted up the players that dealt with major injuries, I did not include Quentin Dormady. In 2017, I guess I could count that because I don't know that he was ever healthy while he started for Tennessee. And then in the middle of the season, he had an injury that forced him to shut things down. Then he transferred to Houston. He has since moved on to Central Michigan, where he will play for Jim McElwain this upcoming year. So not having a quarterback pan out when you signed three of them. They signed Quentin Dormady, Sherron Jones, he transferred as well, and then Juwan Jennings. And Jennings panned out to help Tennessee, just not at quarterback. In a class where you sign three players at quarterback and none of them really help you on the field, that can probably set things back as well. So a number of reasons that things didn't work out. So as I look at Tennessee now and moving forward, Tennessee's strength and conditioning program is so important. One for development, also maybe to help players avoid injuries. I think that's something that Jeremy Pruitt looked at when he arrived at Tennessee. Why have the Vols dealt with so many injuries over the last couple of seasons? Tennessee was plagued by them in 2016 and 17, and it probably cost Tennessee some games, which might have ultimately cost Butch Jones his job at Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt does not want that to happen to him. So the strength and conditioning program is so important. Having good teachers on the coaching staff, that is probably the number one compliment I've heard of Tennessee's coaching staff, especially including the head coach, Jeremy Pruitt, that on the field, in practice, they can teach. That should help with development as well. And then you hope that evaluation works out. Tennessee signed a pretty highly touted class, but they also maybe took a shot on a few players that they are going to be better than the rankings would say. Roman Harrison is a player that they hope can become a high-level pass rusher on defense. Elijah Simmons is a literally big defensive tackle from Pearl Cone in Nashville who's a part of the 2019 class. Tennessee is hoping players like that pan out. If that happens, if the evaluation is right by Tennessee's coaching staff, then Tennessee should be just fine in the future. It is interesting, though, when you go back and look at that 15 class, there was so much promise at the time, especially up front on defense. That was the biggest reason I think so many thought that could help turn Tennessee into a championship program. Instead, not many players in that class panned out. John Kelly was a player who overachieved. Darryl Taylor has his fifth year coming up at Tennessee, and he has a chance to really break out in 2019. But everything that the class was supposed to be really did not work out for Tennessee. Coming up next on Locked On Vols, mailbag time. A question about Tennessee and its recruiting moving forward. Where is Tennessee's coaching staff in the evaluation phase? And then Tennessee basketball. Lineup construction, is that something to pay attention to moving forward? Might they change the starting lineup again? I'll get to that coming up next on Locked On Vols. Your team every day, 5 days a week, talking about what's going on with Tennessee. You can listen on iTunes, on Google Play, on Spotify, the third-party apps like Overcast and Stitcher. And when you get in your car, if you want to fire the podcast up on your smartphone, just tell your smartphone to play podcast Locked On Vols. I have two questions for today's show from listeners, one on the football side, the other in basketball. I'll start with football, continuing that part of the conversation, as Stephen asks about Tennessee's recruiting for 2020. When will Tennessee have its main target list, essentially, for the 2020 class, where they're really focusing on the main players Tennessee wants to go after? I think a lot of that has happened. I think Tennessee's evaluation process for 2020 is well underway. And one reason Tennessee was able to kind of move on from 2019 to 2020, and I think this probably applies to a lot of schools, is that back in the month of January, Tennessee had finished so much of its recruiting for 2019, thanks to the early signing period, that a lot of the recruiting process was for 2020, with some guys still coming on campus for visits. Players like Henry Tuoto, who ended up signing with Tennessee, that was a big get, obviously, and Darnell Wright. Those were the main targets for Tennessee. Others visited, but even while they were coming on campus, like Jamie Robinson, the defensive back from Georgia who went elsewhere, or defensive lineman Ladarius Cox, who was committed to Tennessee, he ended up signing with Ole Miss. There was this question of, was Tennessee really in it with them, or were they kind of just options, guys that were checking things out and if there was room later and Tennessee made a strong push, would they end up in Knoxville? Those were kind of the questions there. I think Tennessee moved on pretty quickly to 2020. Tennessee already has its quarterback in the fold in Harrison Bailey, which really helps. And I think for Tennessee's overall class, Tennessee has targeted the top players. 247 Sports actually updated its 2020 rankings on Wednesday. So if you go there and look, I know coaches will tell you that they don't just go by recruiting rankings, and overall that is true, but they're going to line up. And the top players in the country by the recruiting services are the top players that Georgia and Alabama and Florida and Auburn and Clemson and Tennessee are going after. And I'd say in the 2020 class, every big name that the big name schools are going after and trying to land, Jeremy Pruitt is going to try to sign those guys as well. And that doesn't mean full evaluations are done. You're going to have camp season come up in a few months, and prospects will be on campus. And we know that Tennessee's coaching staff really works to get guys on campus. If the staff is unsure of whether certain players deserve a scholarship offer or not, that's when the coaching staff will decide. And it's a really important time. Last summer, Tennessee decided to not go after linebacker Chris Russell. It waited a few months, and by the time Tennessee tried to get in on Chris Russell from Dyersburg, Tennessee, it really was too late. He listened, and he was recruited by Tennessee in December and January, but in January he decided not to visit Tennessee, and he signed with Texas A&M. If Tennessee had pushed last summer to try to get Chris Russell, I think Chris Russell would have signed with Tennessee in this 2019 class. So the evaluation period is very important, and the decisions that Tennessee makes, the players that Tennessee decides to offer, that will be important as well. Stephen, thanks for the question on Tennessee football recruiting. Ben asks about Tennessee's basketball team, and with some of the issues the last few weeks on offense, they haven't been as good overall, and some of the things that Tennessee will continue to try to work through. Has Tennessee's intensity level been where it should be, where it was earlier in the season? And has Lamonte Turner coming back but also being inserted into the starting lineup, has that been a factor? I've thought over the last couple of weeks, if Eve Pons could be more involved, that would really help. And if Tennessee has struggled with fatigue, if having fresh legs has been a challenge for Tennessee, Pons is a guy that should be able to help in that regard. Let's see what lineup construction continues to be. I think Lamonte Turner, as long as that shot is falling, will be a really good option for them in the starting lineup. And I also don't know that the starting lineup matters that much. It's about minute distribution, the lineups that they use throughout the game, and crunch time. What's your lineup there in the last 4 to 5 minutes of the game? Those are going to be the things that matter the most. But that has been something that I think has popped up in a lot of people's minds over the last few weeks. The intensity level just hasn't been there, and it's difficult to argue when you look at the Kentucky game, which was such a huge matchup for Tennessee, and Kentucky was clearly the more physical team. And then I think some of the same things were being said this past Saturday in Baton Rouge against LSU. Maybe these last couple of weeks will be something that helps Tennessee. We'll have more time to discuss that, and this Saturday is going to be so important. Here's a chance for Tennessee to show that that game in Lexington 2 weeks ago was a big fluke, and Tennessee hopes that's the case, because if Tennessee loses this weekend, well, the SEC title talk really kind of goes away. At least the Vols would really need some help there, especially with games against Mississippi State and Auburn still to come. And Tennessee will probably have to do some more self-evaluation to see what needs to change. Coming up on tomorrow's show, I'm going to have a big Tennessee-Kentucky preview. It's going to be a huge game at Thompson Bowling Arena. Also, quick plug here, Knox County Mayor Glenn Jacobs was up in Lexington on Wednesday as he had to pay off a bet with the mayor up there in Lexington from the earlier game in the season. So Glenn was up there on Kentucky Sports Radio with his big blue Kentucky shirt on. They've got another wager, though, for the game coming up Saturday in Knoxville. So Glenn Jacobs is going to stop by the studio on my radio show in Knoxville at 12:30 on the Sports Animal 99.1 FM. Glenn Jacobs is going to be by the studio. You might also know him as Kane from WWE. So I'm looking forward to talking to Glenn, and we're going to talk about the wager. We don't want to see the big red machine wearing blue again. So Tennessee is going to need to get a win for Glenn on Saturday, and they're also going to do it for charity, which is really cool. So quick plug there, 12:30 today in studio on Sports Radio WNML. I'm going to talk to Glenn Jacobs. Thanks so much for being with me here today on Locked On Vols. 5 days a week, the show is 25, 30 minutes covering what's going on with Tennessee for you. Thanks for being here. Keep rating, reviewing, and spreading the word about Locked On Vols. I'll see you here tomorrow talking Tennessee and Kentucky.